We're holding on Yud Amud Aleph third line. And we're in the middle of a number of cases involving mice and chametz, where we have to know what the din is in each of those cases. And in each of them, we draw an analogy between that case and a different case elsewhere in Torah. And once we know what the halacha is in that other case, then we know over here also. We have the case where you had 9 piles of matzah and 1 of chametz, with the difference between whether you're talking kavua, whether the mouse took from one of the piles themselves, in which case we say it's a 50-50 chance, versus where you have a piece that got separated from one of the piles and then a mouse took that, where there's a 90% chance it was matzah. We had the case where there were 2 piles, 1 matzah, 1 chametz, and 2 houses, one checked, one not checked. We don't know which one went into which one. We can assume that given we said that b'dikas chametz is d'rabbanan, then we're able to be makel and say that the one with the matzah went into the house that was already checked, and the one with the chametz went into the house that wasn't checked yet. So now the Gemara continues on that. Sibur echad shel chametz. Suppose you have 1 pile of chametz, or the fun of beis batim bedukin. You have 2 houses that have already been checked for chametz, but also achbar v'shokol. A mouse came and took from the pile, and he went into one of the houses, but we don't know which one. V'lo yadin an ilahai ol ilahai ol. We don't know whether the mouse went into the one house or the other. So the question is, which balabas is going to have to recheck his house, or are both of them? So the Gemara says, "Hainu shnei shvilin." That amounts to the same case as the 2 paths, the 2 roads, in connection with the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, shnei shvilin. If you have 2 paths, echad tomei, one of them is tomei, meaning Rashi says that there's a kever all across the width of it. So anytime you're walking on that road, whenever you walk by that point where the kever is, inevitably you're going to be ma'ahil, you're going to be overshadowing that kever and become tamei. And the other one, v'echad tahor, and the other one is not like that. V'holach be'echad mehen, so suppose a person walked on one of those roads, v'osa taharis, then later on he went and touched or otherwise got involved with preparing food that is supposed, that has to remain tahor, truma, kodshim, etc., then another person went on the other path and also prepared taharis afterwards. And now the question is, which one of them is tamei? Tosfos points out, we're not focusing on the people themselves so much, because the people themselves, we would tell them, even if we're going to say that there are cases where we can say that they have a chazakah of being tahor, we'll still tell them, what does it hurt you? Go to the mikveh. Go to the mikveh and get sprinkled with pot adrum water just to be on the safe side. Because after all, if both of them touch something of truma, for example, then for sure it's going to be tummy. So over here, we're focusing on the food that they touched, where if it became tummy, there's nothing you can do about it, because food that became tummy, you can't dip in a mikveh. So what is the din? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im nishalu zeh b'fnei atzma v'zeh b'fnei atzma tahorin, if each one individually goes and asks the Rav, then each one will be considered tahor misafik. We are talking about birshus harabim, after all. As we discussed yesterday, safik tumah birshus harabim is tahor. So if they came separately, the Rav can tell each one of them, you're tahor, even though that means it seems to be self-contradictory, but the fact is each one came individually. It's not like the Rav is having to say a two psukim right back to back that are contradicting each other. Shnein b'vasachas tmein. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, if they both come to the Rav to ask together, well, the Rav can't very well say both of you are tahor, because the fact is one of them did walk on the shvil tameh. So therefore, there's no choice but to say that both of them are tameh misafik. Rabbi Yosi omer ben kach or ben kach tmein. Rabbi Yosi says no. Either way, whether it was one after the other, or whether separately, either way they're going to be tamei. There is actually a different girsa that a number of Rishonim have, which is that Rabbi Yossi says both of them are tahor. And Amar Rava and the Gemara, and there's more to that. It's not so simple. Amar Rava v'itamer Rabbi Yechanan. Rava, or some say Rabbi Yechanan, says bevas achas, if they both come to ask at the same time, Divrei Hakol Tmein, then both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are going to agree that they are Tomei, because again, there's no way that the Rav can say to one, you are Tahor, and to the other one, you are Tomei, because there's no reason to say that one, you can't do that. That would be self-contradictory. One of them obviously went on the Shvil Tomei. On the other hand, if they come one after the other and ask the Rav, even though each one describes, so each one may describe the scenario, I walked on this shvil, my friend walked on the other shvil, what's the din? Then still we would say divrei hakol tahorin. We would still say that both of them are tahor because the fact is he's not asking about his friend. I'm only asking about myself. So then, fine, the Rav can tell him you're tahor, because it's a Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, and he's Tahar. Then when the other one comes and asks, also the Rav can tell him that he's Tahar on the same grounds. So that's not the issue. Loi nechlaku el b'vol l'yishol olava al chaveri. The Machloka says, well, he's coming to ask about himself and about his friend. So same thing, he comes and tells the Rav the scenario, but he's not just asking what's the story with me and my Taurus. He's saying, I'm asking also on behalf of my friend, what's the din with him and his taras? So then, Rabbi Yossi medamile levasachas. Rabbi Yossi compares it to coming to vasachas. The fact of the matter is, the Rav needs to paskin for both of them, and he can't possibly say they're both tahor. So there's no choice but to say they're both tamei. Rabbi Yehuda medamile lezeachaze. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, compares it to coming bezeachaze, because what can the Rav do? He doesn't have to paskin for the other one. You're coming to ask about yourself and your friend. I'm just going to deal with you. You are tahor. He can also understand on his own what's going to be the deal with his chaver. If they're both asking Torah Kedei Dibur, necessarily you have to answer both of them because they came both to ask the Shaila. But here, when one came to ask the Shaila about himself and the other one, Rashi is saying the Rav can sort of evade the question about the second one. He'll answer about you. You are Tahar, and leave it to the guy to draw his own conclusions about his friend. And then if his friend really wants to know, then he can come and ask a Shaila himself, is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Applying that to our case over here then, so the same thing, if the two people come, if each balabas comes individually to ask, do I need to check my place for chametz again? So we can tell each one, you don't have to, because again, it's derabanan, so therefore suffolk of it is mutter. But if they both come bavasachas, then they would both need to do bedika again, same logic. On the other hand, there are a number of rishonim who say that no, the Gemara is not completely comparing it to the case of the Shnei Shvilin, because the fact of the matter is, Shnei Shvilin, you're dealing with Tumah, which is Daraisa. Here, ultimately, you're dealing with Bedikas Chametz, which is Dirabanan, because again, as we've learned a number of times, Midaraisa, all you need to do is Mimavatol the Chametz. So therefore, there's an argument that can be made, and some of the Rishonim do, that the Gemara is not fully comparing it to the case of the Shnei Shvilin. It's saying that actually, even if they both came to ask B'vasachas, we might be able to be makel on them on the grounds that B'dikas Chometz is D'Rabbanan. And if they come separately, then for sure we can be makel on them. Because we talked about yesterday a point that a number of the Rishonim make. The Ravid mentions it, Rabbeinu David, the Talmud of the Ramban, talks about it in more detail, that in general, B'dikas Chametz is the whole B'dikas Chametz is because of a suffix. So what do you mean that because of a suffix we're going to be makel over here? So Rabbeinu David draws a distinction between when you need to do B'dika in the first place, where then you can't get out of the B'dika by saying, well, it's only a suffix whether there's Chametz in my house, why should I need to check? Because that's the whole point. The Chachamim told you, even though there's only a suffix, you still have to do B'dikas Chametz. On the other hand, here you already did the B'dikas Chametz. And the question is, does your house, which you already checked, need to be rechecked again because of this possibility that the mouse went into it rather than into the other one? There, we're not going to be machmir necessarily and say that just because of the suffix, you should need to. There we have more reasons to be makel, because after all, you did keep the takana of the Chachamim to begin with. You did make there was a point when your house was known as much as possible to be free of chametz because you did bedikah, and therefore there's reason to be makel again. There's also a point also that the Rishonim bring in this connection, and we've touched on it before. Tosfos mentions at the beginning of the second perek that in general, if you have chametz in your house, which you don't know about, says Tosfos, then you're not oivron and on bal yirah bal yimatzah. If you have any chametz in your house that you know about, of course, you're oivron, and mitakonas chachamim, you do have to check for chametz in order to make sure, as we learned the other day, shemi yimtza glus geyofa, you might find a nice piece of bread and decide to eat it, but at least on a daraisa level, if at least on a daraisa level, if you don't know that this chametz is in your house, then it's not considered. You're not over on bal yiroah because you don't see it, and you're not over on bal yimatzeh because it's not found. It may be somewhere in the house, but you don't even know that it's there. So that's another consideration over here that's another consideration that factors in over here to be able to be makel. Okay, continues the Gemara. Another case, suffik all, suffik loy all. What if you have a suffik whether the mouse went into the house at all? So let's say you see a mouse picking up some chametz in the chatzar. Then you have you already checked your house for chametz. You don't know at all whether the mouse even went into the house or not. So what do you do over there? Hainu bika. So that would be the same case as the case of a valley full of fields that we're going to talk about now. Therefore, that would be subject to a machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Tanan hanichnas. Now, again, we have this matter that we've talked about before about Suffolk Tumah Birshus HaYochid versus Birshus HaRabim. There are certain places, I think we touched on this in Eruvin, where depending on the time of year, it may be a Rosh HaYochid or Rosh HaRabim. Fields, sometimes after the harvest is done and the field is empty, then it can be a Rosh HaRabim. People often use it as a shortcut. On the other hand, when the field is planted, you can't just walk into it, stam, so then it becomes a Rosh HaYochid. So the Mishnah says, "Hanichnas labika b'moisag shamim." If a person goes into a valley which is full of fields during the winter time, v'tuma b'sada plainis, and it so happens one of the fields in that bika is known to have tuma in it. Now, in fact, now you can distinguish one field from another. Rashi mentions all of the fields are marked off one from the other. They all have some kind of boundary marker between it and the next field. A very common thing the Gemara mentions in Bava Basra and in some other places is that you would have a mound of dirt heaped up along the edges of the field that were a long, narrow mound of dirt. You could have fences, you could have whatever. So there's something to delineate one field from another. And in one of these fields, there's known to be tuma. For example, there's known to be a caver in that. There's known to be a caver in that field. Va'omar echad. So now, suppose a person says, "Halachti b'makom alaz." I went into that valley. I went among those fields. Ve'eni yadei im nichnasti ba'osa sadavim lo nichnasti. I don't know whether I went into that field or not. Rabbi Eliezer Matahar, Vachachamim Matamim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, now here we're talking, it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because the individual field itself is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because now again it's during the winter time. The plants in the fields are growing, and you can't just walk into any field. So it's a Suffolk Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So Rabbi Eliezer Matahar, Rabbi Eliezer says though that he's Tahar because Rabbi Eliezer says, you have a suffik b'chlal, whether you went into the field, then in effect what you have is, it's a svek sveka. Did you even go into that field? And if you went into that field, were you mahil? Did you happen to walk over the caver itself? It is a matter of svek sveka. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer would hold that it's tahor is like this. Usually we say, it doesn't matter how many svekas there are, it doesn't matter when you're in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, how many svekas on top of svekas there are, we still say your tumim is suffik. However, in this case, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. He says like this: where do we learn the whole concept of suffik tuma b'shusa yachid? Is from a soita. You have a suffik with a soita, whether she's tame or not, and you make her also to her husband, and she has to drink the soita water. But there you only have one suffik. So therefore, svek sveka, says Rabbi Eliezer, there's no grounds to say that it should be tame. Whereas the chachamim disagree. The Chacham say, listen, after all, I mean, you could argue by that logic. So why are you being metame with one suffik anyway? After all, one suffik should be enough. She has a cheskes tara, or in this case, the person has a cheskes tara, and yet zeres akosov that we consider her tame. So therefore, it doesn't matter how many sfakas there are. Regardless, we still have to consider her. We still have to consider her to be tame, and in this case, him to be tame that he may have gone into the field. V'chachamim metamim. So the Chachamim say that he's tame because suffik. Rabbi Eliezer used to say suffik bia tahor. When you have a suffik, whether somebody came into a place or not, then he's tahor. Suffolk Maga Tumah. If the Suffolk is whether he actually touched the Tumah, we know he went into the Tumah place, and the only Suffolk is whether he touched it, then Tumah. So again, applying that over here. Now over here again, now even though we said at the beginning, even though we said that this is Plugta de Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanon, not necessarily is it actually that Machloikus, because again, you could be talking about over here, B'dikas Chometz is only de Rabbanon. And therefore, B'dikas Chametz is only the Rabbanon. So therefore, you might be able, even the Rabbanon might be Mekel and say that since you have only a Suffolk over here, whether the mouse even went in, then therefore you can be Mekel and he doesn't have to search the house again. Okay. Another case. All Uvodak V'lay Ashkach. What happens if we know the mouse did go into the house, then you went and searched the house again, V'lay Ashkach, and you didn't find the Chametz? So then what happens? Plug to the mayor of Rabbanon. Then we have a machloikus between the mayor and the Rabbanon about a similar case. So the case that's described in a Mishnah in Nidah over there is, suppose you have three piles of rocks and dirt and whatever. There's a chazaka that one of them has tumma buried in it. There's a dead body buried under it, for example. Then you have the two other ones are known to be Tahar, but then you mixed up. You forgot which one is the Tameh one and which one is the Tahar one. So what happens, let's say, you check one of them. You check it thoroughly. You find there's no mess over there. So then, okay, you say that one is obviously the Tahar one. The other two are still have a suffix of being Tameh. The same thing if you check the second one. What happens if you check the third one? So then Reb Meir says, now that doesn't mean all three of them are Tahar, the fact that you didn't find the mess. All three of them are back to being Tameh because you have a Cheskas Tumah over there. Where did the Tumah go? So Hayyur Reb Meir, I'm a called Dabash of a Cheskas Tumah. Anything that has a Chazaka of being Tameh, La'olam hu b'tum asay, it always remains Tameh, ad shi yivod l'cha atumah heichan hi, until you find out where the actual Tumah is. So in this case, yes, you checked all three piles, but if you didn't find the Tumah in any of them, the Tumah's got to be somewhere. So obviously you didn't check thoroughly enough. So therefore, it's still each one of them is still Tameh misafik. V'chamim say no. All you have to do is with each one of them, you check it fine. You check besides the pile itself, you dig down over there until you reach Adlas, until you reach bedrock, or virgin soil that you can tell by the consistency of it has never been dug up. And then at that point, if you don't find the mess by that point, then already you can say that maybe a raven or a mouse or whatever came and took the tumah, and therefore there is no tumah over here. So again, applying that to here, on the surface of it, we would say, on the surface of it, therefore we would say that a mayor would say you have to do something again. We'll talk in a second what that something is. And the Chachamim are saying once you checked, then that's good enough. On the other hand, again, Rashi says it's not a complete comparison because again, over here when we're talking B'dikas Chametz de Rabbanon, then maybe even a mayor would agree. There are actually a number of Rishonim, I think the Baal HaMor being one of them, who actually say that in all these Sfeikas in the Gemara, the question is not even necessarily so much whether he needs to do B'dika again, but does he need to do Bittul at least? Do we say there's a good chance that there's chametz in there, therefore at least he needs to do bittul, or do we not even require him to do that? Now, though, Tosfos brings up the point. According to the mayor, what do you want the poor guy to do? He checked the house. In the case of the piles, okay, the mayor can say they still have a cheskas tumah. The point is, in other words, if a person were to walk on top of any of those piles or put food of taharis on top of one of those piles, then we would have to say it's tumah misafik. So there you have an alternative. Don't go near those piles. Don't put truma or kodshim near those piles. In our case over here, what are you supposed to do? If we're saying hypothetically that according to the mayor, you should have to check again, what are you supposed to do? You already checked. So, of course, we have Rashi's explanation again, that we're talking that even Reb Meir would be Mekel. The problem with that is we clearly said that it's a plugta de Reb Meir v'Rabbanon. In the previous one, when we had the case of the, where we don't know whether the mouse came in, and we said it's subject to a machlokus of Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim, there are actually girsois that take out those words. Here, there's no girsa that takes out the words, plugta de Reb Meir v'Rabbanon. So therefore, Tosfos says, how can you say that even Reb Meir is going to be Mekel in this case? Then there's no machlokas, and the Gemara is clearly saying that there is a machlokas. So therefore, Tosfos says, fine, we have to be talking about he hadn't been mevatel. So therefore, the mayor is going to say like this. Normally, we would say on a Doraisa level, it's good enough to do either Bedikah or Bittul. Only did Rabbanon require you to do both. In this case, he did Bedikah again, but since he didn't find the chametz, then you still have a suffolk lav. Therefore, he's going to need to be mevatel it. So the mayor will say, in other words, that I'm not going to make you go crazy. You go and be you were boydik again. Now the only thing I'll make you do is be mevatel. On the other hand, there are other answers of Rishonim what you're supposed to do in this case. One interesting one is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says the answer is normally we would say when you're checking. Well, we've learned before you only have to check places makom shemachnisin by chametz, places where normally chametz might be brought in through the year. We had the example, let's say, of holes high up on the wall or low down on the wall that you don't need to check them because during the year you don't use them. Here, when we're saying, if we say, according to the mayor, that you have to check, it would mean you'd have to check even those places, even those kinds of places where normally you don't bring in chametz, but here, where it's not because of the chametz that you might have brought in to begin with, but rather because you saw a mouse go in and you didn't find the chametz that it brought in, and you can't, the mayor is saying you can't necessarily assume that the mouse ate the chametz, just like he's saying by the three piles of stones that you can't necessarily assume that a raven or a mouse took away the truma. Therefore, says Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, the mayor is going to require you to be boydik more thoroughly, not just the areas where you bring in chametz, but even the areas where you normally don't bring in chametz, like those higher and lower, and like those holes high up or low down on the wall. Okay. Another case. All uvodak v'ashkach. What happens? The mouse went in with chametz. You went and searched for chametz, and you found chametz. But is it the same chametz that the mouse brought in or not? What if it could be a different piece of chametz? What if the chametz that the mouse brought in is someplace else in the house, and you happen to find a piece that you missed in your bedikas chametz? So then plugta did Rebbe v'Reb Shimon Gamliel. That is going to be subject to a machloikus of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel in a similar case. The Tanya. Soda shenevad bokever, a field where a grave was lost in it. So you know that at one point there was a caver in this field, but you lost track of where it is exactly. So if you go into that field, then you're tamei misafik because you may have walked over the grave. Nimtza bokever, what happens later on, you discover a grave in that field. So now if you go anywhere else in the field, you'll remain tahor. Shani Omer, because we're able to say, Kever Sha'avad, who Kever Shanimsa, the same field that we previously lost track of is the same one that we found now. Divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Tibodet Kol Asod Kula. Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to say, you have to recheck the whole field because you don't know. This might actually be a different caver that you didn't know of before. And then you have, meanwhile, the original caver that you lost track of is still unknown. So you're going to have to check the whole field and see whether there are any other kvarim in it. So again, applying that to here, that would affect the question, do you need to recheck the house, the rest of the house, and make sure there's no other chametz in it? Or is it that you found this piece and therefore that's good enough to assume that... That's good enough to assume that it's the same piece of chametz. Next, hiniach tes u'motzayud. What about suppose you left nine pieces or nine piles of chametz in your house? U'motzayud, and later on, let's say for example you're leaving it over in order to eat on Erev Pesach morning. If you put down nine pieces of chametz and then you found 10. So the question is, are those the same nine that you left there and then just somebody put an extra piece with them? Or does it mean maybe that there are, doesn't mean what if it could also mean that the original nine were taken away by mice and then you have 10 other pieces over here and now you have to check the house to find those nine. So then the Gemara says, plugta de Rebbe v'Rabbanon. Then that will be subject to a machloikus of Rebbe and the Chachamim. The Tanya, hiniach moneh umotza masayim. Suppose you left a moneh, 100 zuz, of my sasheni money. And later on, you came and found 200 zuz in the same place. Chulun umay sasheni mu raven zebezeh divrei Rebbe. Then Rebbe is going to say that you have in what you have is chulun and my sasheni are mixed together. You can assume that you have to assume one moneh of it, 100 zuz of it is the original my sasheni money. The other 100 is chulin. So what do? Rashi says you take some sloyim, you take some coins that are equal in value to a mana. You say wherever in this pile the ma'aser sheni money is, I'm mechalal it on this money. And then this new money that you took has the din of ma'aser sheni. And then you take those new sloyim to your shalayim, and the old 200 you're allowed to spend wherever you want. Actually, Tosafot says you don't even need that. You should be able to take out of the pile itself. You should be able to take 100 zuz and say, if these are the ma'aser sheni money, then good. And if not, then I'm mechalal the ma'aser sheni money on these. Rashi himself actually explains similarly elsewhere in Shas, I think in Masechta Beitza or something. Anyway, the bottom line is that according to Rebbe, the point is we can assume that out of the 200, 100 of it is still the original 100. V'cham say we have to assume that we can assume that the whole thing is cholin. We can assume the money was taken away and now somebody else brought 200 zuz. So now over there, the chachamim are mekel. Here, on the other hand, it would come out of chumrah as a result of that. According to Rebbe, that we say that out of the 200, 100 of it is the original ma'aser sheni. The same thing, out of these 10 pieces of chametz, 9 of them are the original pieces. Then therefore you're good. You don't have to check the house again. According to the chachamim, then in the case of the money, all of it is cholin. So according to them, it would come out that over here, you have to be concerned that the 9 pieces may have been taken away by mice, and therefore that you have 10 new pieces over here, and therefore you have to search the house again for the original 9. A point that some of the Mefoshim make in this connection is, if we had said that it's a suffix whether this money is cholin or meiser, then it's one thing. But we said it's, according to the Chachamim, we said it hakol cholin, it's definitely cholin, meaning that you don't need to be redeeming it, you don't need to take it to your shalayim, etc. And after all, meiser sheni is daraisa. So therefore, if the Chachamim are saying we can be mekel in that case, even on something daraisa, and say that none of this money is the original meiser sheni money, then that means, therefore, applying that to chametz, we can't use the kula of yeah, but it's derabanan, and therefore we shouldn't have to check again. If they're going so far as to say that's vaday, not the same money when it comes to ma'aser sheni, then here we have to say there's at least a reasonable chance that out of these ten pieces, 9 of them are not some of them at least are not the original ones. What about the other way around? Hiniach yodu motzatesha. The other way around, you left 10 pieces of bread and you found only 9. So Hainu Sefer, that'll be the Sefer of that, that'll be equivalent to the Sefer of that same Braisa. Detanya, Hiniach Mosayim Umotza Mona. What happens the other way around? You left 200 zuz of Ma'aser Sheni, now you find only 100. So monam munach or monam mutl divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe is going to say what you have is there's one mona left there from the original, and then you have monam munach, one mona is left over, or monam mutl, and then one mona evidently was taken away. Divrei Rebbe. So therefore, again, Rebbe is going to say that of this, that the 100 you find is ma'aser sheni, v'cham ma'kol cholin. The chum say the whole thing is going to be cholin. So again, applying that over here. The same thing, according to Rebbe, that whatever's left over of the money is the same ma'aser sheni as it was before, at the bottom of Yud Aleph. Then the same thing over here. The nine that are left are the ones that are the original ones that were there. So fine, you're still gonna have to search for the 10th one, but as soon as you find it, then you're good. As opposed to according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, who say in the case of the money, Hakol Cholin, here they're going to say you're going to need to search the whole house again until you find 10 pieces. Now, the question is, in that case, he already has 9 pieces in front of him. So what do you mean he has to search for 10 new pieces? So Tosfos actually mentions a point over here. The Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara in Beitza, talks about
that this machloikus of Rebbe and the Chachamim, in this case, and also in the previous case, has to do with when the money bags were tied together. So you had a money bag with 100 and another money bag with 100 were tied together, and now you find only one of them. So the question is, which one, is it the original one, or does it mean it was untied from the other one, or is it more likely to be a new one? Otherwise, if they're not tied together, then everybody would agree that it's chulin, because there's no particular reason to think. Usually people don't put mais hasheni and chulin together, so therefore there's less likelihood that they got mixed up together. The other way around. Divrei hakol, if they're not tied, divrei hakol, chulin or mais hasheni, moravin zebezeh, then it's more likely that it is mixed together because... Sorry, I said that wrong. If it's money bags that are not tied together, why are you assuming that that the original money bags of 200, let's say, were taken away, and then somebody put over here a money bag of 100, much more likely that one of them is the original one and the other one was placed next to it. So over here also, Tosfos says the case would have to be that we're talking about pieces of bread that are attached, that are tied to each other. If they're not, then not necessarily would the Chachamim say that you have to recheck the whole house for 10 new pieces of bread. In this case, you have 9 pieces that are still tied together, but you originally had 10 pieces that were tied together. Therefore, the Chacham are going to say, you're going to have to look around the whole house for 10 pieces. You can't assume that these 9 are okay. You can't necessarily, if you find these 9 not tied together, let's say, then you can't necessarily assume that they're the original 9. The original 9 and the original 10 were tied together. After all, here you only find 9 of them and they're not tied together, like breakaway challah maybe. So therefore, there's much more of a reyus and much more of a reason to say, according to the Chachamim, that something's wrong over here and all 10 pieces were taken away. Okay. Another case. Hiniach bezavis zu matzah bezavis acheres. What if he put the chametz in one corner of his house and then later he comes back and finds the chametz in a different corner? Plukta de Reb Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanon. There you would have a machloikas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. In a similar case, Titania, kardum she'ovid bebayis. If an axe gets lost in the house. So you know the axe was there and now you can't find it. Habayis tomei, then everything in the house, all the furniture and kalim and everything in the house, are tomei misafik shani oimer, because we have to say a possibility. Adam tomei nichnas l'sham v'natloi. A person who's tomei might have walked in there and taken the axe, and while he was there, he was touching other things and other furniture and dishes and whatever in the house. I don't know if there's a chazaka that most people are tahor, but actually the Rambam points out an interesting point over here in one of his truvas. We know that you're not allowed to use somebody else's things without permission, and a person who does that is a gazlan. Here you have somebody walked in and used the axe without permission, and borrowed the axe without permission. That alone makes him a rosha, makes him a gazlan, and therefore he has no chazaka of being tahor. You have to assume somebody like that may well be tameh as well. Reb Shimon Gamliel, my Abai is tahor. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says no. Everything in the house remains tahor. Shani Omer, he shilu la'achav v'shochach. Because what could happen? Let's say you lent the axe to somebody else, and then you forgot that you lent it. Oy, shenot lemizavas zuviyinich bezavas ha'acheres v'shochach. Or he took it from one corner, put it in the other corner, and forgot that he had picked it up and moved it. So the Gemara asks Zobis Man Dechashme, who said anything about corners? We're talking about where the axe is lost, not where you found it in a different corner. So the answer is Chsuri Mechsira. The Mishnah is missing some words. V'hochi Katani. It means to say like this: Kaudim Shoved Babayis Habayis Tomei Shani Oimer Adam Tomei Nichnas Hashem V'Natloi. Because again, you could have a Tomei person walked in and took the axe, and meanwhile he may have touched other things in the house. Or you could have also another case is if you originally left the axe in one corner and you came back and found it in a different corner, Habayis Tomei. Also, the Tanakama would say the house is tummy for the same reason. Shani Omer Adam Tommy Nichnas Hashem V'Natla Mezavas Zu V'Yinicha Mezavas Acheres, because a tummy person may have walked in and taken it. It obviously, in other words, it's one thing, for example, if it had been on a shelf and then we find it on the floor, not necessarily were any people involved b'chlal. It could have just fallen off the shelf. But here where it's taken into another corner, obviously there had to be human intervention to do that. And therefore, there's a good chance that that human intervention was a tummy person, especially with the point that that the Rambam is saying about borrowing and being about borrowing without permission and being a Rosh. So we don't assume that he was absent. Well, that's according to the Tanakhama. We don't assume that. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm not biased to her. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel says the house is to her. If the axe is missing altogether, then no problem. You lent the axe to somebody else and then you forgot about it. Or if you find it in a different corner, that, yeah, he was absent-minded. He put it in a different corner and forgot about it. So applying that to that, applying that over here then, the Chachamim are going to say that what happened, how does the chametz come to move from one corner to another? Might be that a mouse moved it. The same way as over there, a tummy person might have moved it. The same thing over here, a mouse might have moved it. Once you have to be concerned about that, then it might not be the same piece. It might be that the mouse took the original piece of chametz and then left a different piece in a different corner. And therefore, you're going to have to check again. Well, if it's the same one, yeah. You can assume the same person himself moved the chametz and just forgot about it. Now, Tosfos says, how does this relate to the machlokas that we had on Amud Aleph about the case of the field where a kaver was lost in it, and then you found a kaver and you're not sure if it's the same one? So one possibility is that the Chachamim here agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion over there. So in other words, even though they're arguing with Reb Shimon Gamliel over here, in effect, you would have two opinions within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion. One way of looking at it would be that we would say the same thing. So the same thing we would say, the same piece of chametz that was lost, we can assume is the same one that we found. The Chachamim, meanwhile, would not be, the Chachamim here would not be agreeing with that. They would say the same way as Reb Shimon Gamliel said, in that previous case, that you have to recheck the entire field because there might be another caver there that you don't know about. The same way over here, there might be another piece of chametz you don't know about. The other possibility, Tosfos says, is that no, they don't have to be holding like Reb Shimon Gamliel in that previous machlokas. Let's say, though, you don't even know how many pieces of bread there were in the first place. If you know that there was one piece over here, and then you find one piece on the other side, then fine, we can talk about it. It's likely to be the same one. But you yourself don't know whether there were one or two or three or whatever. So now, when you find them in the other corner, then you may. So the only question is, are they all the same number as before, and just you moved them and you were absent minded, which is what Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying over here, or the Chachamim are saying, given that you don't even know how many there were, and on top of that we know that they were moved and there's a chance that they were moved by a mouse, therefore you're gonna have to recheck the entire house. Okay, another case. Now we're done with cases that we can draw an analogy to other areas in halacha. Now we're going to be talking about some independent cases, also involving mice and chametz, but we're not going to be tying them to mishnayos and braisos like we did before. So Amar Rava, achbo nichnas v'kikar b'fiv, if a mouse goes into a house with a piece of bread in its mouth, v'nichnas achra v'motza pirurim, you went into the house right away following the mouse, and you found crumbs on the floor, tzarech bedika, you're going to need to check the house again. You can't say that these crumbs come from the piece of chametz that the mouse brought in. You have to assume that they came from something else. Because mice don't usually leave crumbs. They usually eat whatever they find. So therefore, there's a good chance that the bread that the mouse brought in is still somewhere there in the house, and they have crumbs here from a different piece of bread. So therefore, you're going to have to check again. As opposed to v'omar rava tinek nichnas v'kikar b'yadei, if a child goes in with a piece of bread in his hand, v'nichnas achra v'matzah perurin, and then you go and follow him in and you find crumbs, ein sarach b'dika, then you don't need to do b'dika. V'mnesha davka shel tinek l'farah, because it's normal for kids to leave crumbs, and therefore it's likely that these crumbs are from the piece. Tosfos says that we're talking about that the crumbs equal the entire volume of the original piece of bread that he took in. But if you have less than that, then maybe not. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that no, even if you have less, it's fine. The kid ate some of it. He ate some of it and he left some crumbs. There's a famous vote they say on this in connection in Parshas Vayigash, where it says over there how Yosef sustained his family during the years of famine in Mitzrayim. It says he provided lechem lefi hatof, bread according to the needs of the children. So why dafka the children? So they say, based on this Gemara over here, dafka sholtinik lefarer, he knew he needed to give them extra. You can't just give them exactly as much as they need, because kids tend to crumble and waste a lot of food. Yeah. Okay. Boy Rava. Now Rava Atnia. Now Rava asks the question, By the way, worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, something that the Alshach HaKadosh says in connection with the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz from your house, that it also represents getting rid of your yetzahara and so forth. So he says you can have a case. We have all these cases over here where you checked your house, you thoroughly checked yourself for any maisim royim, but then you have then you have a mouse comes in, or we're going to have soon a case, a snake comes in, implying, in other words, like you have even lashon hara in particular can destroy the whole thing, and then you need to check all over again. Okay. What if a mouse goes in holding a piece of bread, and then later on you see a mouse coming out with a piece of bread in its mouth? Mahu, what's the din? Can we say that it's the same mouse and therefore good? It took out the chametz and therefore we're good. Maybe not. It might be a different mouse. Again, relating that to the case of the caver that was lost in the field before. There, Reb Shimon Gamliel had said you need to recheck because there might be another caver. But here, the fact is that it came out with a loaf with a piece of bread in its mouth. There's a high reason to think that it is the same mouse and the same piece of bread. So, do we say that or not? Or Dilma Achrina, who it might be a different mouse. Even according to Rebbe, because there's a good chance the first one, why would you go into the house and then come out still with a piece of bread? It's more likely he went into the house still with his piece of bread, and then another one is coming out. So what do we say? If you want to say that we can assume that the one that went in is the same one that came out, and therefore you don't have to search for chametz again. What about achba lovan nichnas v'kikur b'fiv? What if a white mouse went in with a piece of bread in its mouth, but achba shachar yotze v'kikur b'fiv, and a black mouse comes out with a piece of bread in its mouth? So it's obvious. Hi vad mahu? What's the din? Hi vade achrinahu? Now obviously it's a different mouse. On the other hand, it could still be the same piece of bread. Maybe the first mouse dropped the piece of bread and the second one picked it up, and therefore it's still the same piece of bread. So you're going to answer maybe that mice don't usually take food from each other. Therefore, there's no reason to assume that the one mouse dropped it and the other one picked it up. It's more likely that it's two separate mice and two separate. It's obviously two separate mice. It's more likely that it's two pieces of chametz. If you're going to say that, what about achbo nichnas v'kikur b'fiv? What if a mouse goes in with a loaf of bread in its mouth? V'cholda yotzes v'kikur b'fiv. V'cholda yotze. Then later on, you see a chulda, a rat or a weasel or whatever, coming out with a piece of bread in its mouth. So then, mahu. On the one hand, we could say chulda vade ma'ach b'shkalte. Now, you might say that mice don't take food from each other, but weasels or rats will definitely fight mice and take the bread from them. So therefore, it's more likely that it is the same piece of bread. By the way, Tosfos pointed out at the beginning of the sugya, we have to be talking about in all these cases, the bread is too big for the mouse or the rat or whatever to eat in one sitting. Otherwise, there's much more reason to think that it ate it, and therefore, and then that would be another suffix that you could take into account over here. Anyway, so here you have the weasel comes out with a loaf of bread, with a piece of bread in its mouth. So chulda vade ma'ach b'shkalte. On the one hand, the chulda will definitely be taking it from the mouse. So therefore, it could very well be the same piece of bread. Maybe not. Achrinahu. It might be a different piece of bread. Deem ised ma'ach b'shkalte. If the weasel had taken the bread from the mouse, it wouldn't just take the bread. Achba b'fiyah have a mishtakach. You'd find the mouse itself, the weasel or the rat or whatever, would have caught the mouse, be holding in its mouth because it wants to eat it and the bread. And therefore, if you don't find that, if you find that it has only the bread, then there's more of a reason to say that it might be a different mouse. That it might be a different piece of bread, rather. If you're going to answer that yes, if it actually took it from the mouse, then the mouse itself would be in the rat's mouth as well. What about another case? The mouse went in with a piece of bread in its mouth. Now the weasel comes out. On one side of its mouth is the mouse, and on the other side of its mouth is the piece of bread. So now what do you do, mahu? Hocha vade ihuhu. On the one hand, we can say, yeah, it must be the same one. It fought this mouse. It took the bread away, and therefore it's holding them both. Oiduma im ised ihu nihu. On the other hand, you could argue if it was the same one, you should say maybe the piece of bread would have still been in the mouse's mouth. The rat, the cholder, would have caught the mouse still with the bread in its mouth. And now when it comes out, the bread is still in its mouth. It's not, they're not going to be two separate things. So, or it could be the mouse was scared of the rat, so it dropped the piece of bread, or shkalta, and then the rat picked up both the mouse and the piece of bread. So the Gemara says, teiku. Now, the Rambam has a usual rule in Paskin and Halacha that when the Gemara gives a bunch of questions tied together with imtim tzaloimars, then the Halacha is like the possibility that we mentioned with the imtim tzaloimar. So therefore, the result is that in most of these cases, you actually don't have a suffix. In the first case where the mouse went out and the mouse went in and the mouse went out, we said imtim tzaloimar, that it's the same one. Then we asked, what about if it's different colored mice? So that imtim tzaloimar tells us, therefore, the halacha is there, you don't have to check again. In the case of the black versus the white mouse, the white mouse, we said imtim tzaloimar, mice don't take from each other. Therefore, in that case, you would have to do bedikah again because you have there'd be strong reason to assume that it's a different piece of bread. That because we're not going to assume the first mouse dropped it and the second one picked it up. In the third one with the cholder, also that the Gemara is saying imtim tzaloimar, that if it was the same one, then the mouse would be in its mouth as well. So then, in fact, we say yes, you have to check for chametz again. It only in the last case do we have teiku, and again, since we're talking only a din de rabbanon, because bedikas chametz is only din de rabbanon, then therefore we can be makel. So the result is, in two out of these four cases, we don't have to check again, and in two of the four cases, we do. Okay. Another case, another question. excuse me. Boi Rava, kicker b'shmei koira. What happens if there's a piece of bread that's known to be up on the rafters of the ceiling? So you have imagine you have, for example, like you think of like the houses that like the ceilings they have like in the bunk houses in camp or whatever, where you have exposed rafters. So suppose you know there's a piece of chametz up there. Do you need to get a ladder and go up there and bring down the piece of bread? Or do you not need to and you can just be mevatel it where it is? The question is, do we say the Chachamim are not going to be matriach him to that extent to go and find it, to go and get it down? Because after all, it's not going to come down by itself. It's going to stay up there, Bapashto. So you're not going to come to eat it during Pesach. On the other hand, it might fall down. And then once it fell down on the floor, you might find it and eat it. Shema yim tzegluska yafa. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe you're not going to schlep all the way up there and get a ladder and everything. Or by the time you do, you're going to remember that it's Pesach. But over here, it might fall down. The imtim tzaloimin azimnin denof of osilamechla, if you're going to say that it might fall down and therefore you might come to eat it, and again, there being an imtim tzaloimin over here, that's the halacha, that you do actually have to go up on a ladder and get it. What about kikah b'bur? What about the other way around? What if the loaf of bread is down in a pit? Do you need to get a ladder and climb down into the pit in order to get the chametz out? Or do you not need to? Now, on the one hand, it's obviously not going to come out of the pit on its own. On the other hand, he might go down into the pit to do something else over there. Sometimes you store things at the bottom of pits. He might go down over there in order to draw water, whatever it is exactly. And then he may come to eat it while he's down there. And if you're going to say that, yes, the answer is he might go down there and then he might end up eating it. Rashi is not goatus that part, by the way. Because the next question that we're going to ask doesn't depend on that question about the bird. Anyway, the question is, kicker b'fi nochash. What if you have, there's a piece of bread in the mouth of a snake? Now, do you need to hire a snake charmer in order to charm the snake to drop the loaf of bread so that you can take it and burn it? Or can you just leave well enough alone and the snake will eventually eat it or take it out or whatever, and you don't have to worry about it? The question is, you can say maybe the Chachamim matriach him to do something with his own body, to climb up on a ladder to get the chametz down from the rafter over there, or maybe to climb down into the burr. But maybe the Chachamim were not matriach him to go and hire and spend money for this purpose. Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. So again, the answer is teku. Tosfos actually points out that it's not so simple. We learned back on Daf Dalet that we have the case of a person who rented a house to somebody else advertising that it was checked for chametz, and it turns out it wasn't. We said even in places where the usual thing is to hire somebody to do your Pesach cleaning for you, even then you still need to do that. You can't break the lease because of that. You can't say it was a mekach tos because nichalei le'inish le'evad mitzvah mamoneh. A person would like to do a mitzvah with his money. Why all of a sudden are we saying here the chacham are not matriachim with money? Tosfos gives the answer that the difference is that here, If you don't hire the snake charmer, what's going to eventually happen? The snake can eat the chametz, it can take it out of there. Therefore, there's not necessarily are you ever going to have to do anything with it anyway. As opposed to there, you're talking about plain old bedikas chametz. No matter what, somebody is going to have to clean this house of chametz. So then when it comes to that, then we assume a person is willing to do a mitzvah with his money. But here, maybe the chacham are not matriachim only on the suffix that the snake might not eat it, might not take it out of there. Not necessarily are the chacham matriachim him to spend money on it. A different answer that some Rishonim give is, when do we say nichol the inish to oven mitzvah mamone? When the mitzvah could be done personally without spending money, and instead you could hire somebody to do it. B'dikas chametz, even in these places where they regularly hire people, you're not obligated to hire somebody. You could do it yourself if you wanted. You're just the usual thing is that people hire. But over here, there's no way that you're getting that loaf of bread from the snake's mouth by yourself. Necessarily, you're going to need that chaver. So maybe, therefore, the chachamim are not going to require you to do that. It doesn't really matter, even if it's in his house. The point is, even if the burr is in his house. No, why? Again, it's not coming out of there on its own. So maybe it's enough to be mevatel it. But maybe not, because he might climb down in there to do something else. And then while he's down there, he'll take the chametz and eat it. So again, the Rambam also seems to be goyis like Rashi, that he doesn't have the last imtim tzolaymar. So therefore, according to him, you have two questions that are tied together with an imtim tzolaymar, where the chametz is on the rafters versus where it's in the burr. And therefore, in the case when it's in the rafters, you do need to go and get it. In the case where it's in the burr, I think the Rambam says you don't need to. Again, because it's only a suffix d'rabbanan. And the case of the snake, also, it's a suffix whether you need to get the snake charmer, and then the halacha is you don't need to. Oh, v'choy v'chover, you're talking about. That's a different, right. So choy v'chover that it mentions in Chumash that you're not allowed to do. First of all, it could be a goyish one, I suppose. But besides which, also choy v'chover that it talks about in the psukim over there, that is also Rashi explains on the pasuk based on the Gemara. It means that a person uses magical formulas to gather a lot of animals together, like to charm them into all gathering together. Choyver literally means to gather them together. As opposed to here, you're talking about to charm the snake. It's one individual snake, like you have these Indian snake charmers to get it to drop the loaf of bread. Lav dafka, there's an issur in that. Okay. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Boidkin O Yudalid, you check for chametz on the night of going into the 14th of Nisan, over Yudalid Shachris, and on the morning of the 14th, over Shasabir, and at the time when you have to destroy chametz. Now we're going to see in the Gemara, does Rabbi Yehuda mean that you have to do it all three times, or does it mean if you didn't do it the first one, you do it the second, and so forth? The Chum say, if you didn't check the night of the 14th, Yivdik be Yudalad, then you have to search during the daytime of the 14th. Loy Bodak be Yudalad, if you didn't check on the 14th, Yivdik be Soich Hamoyed. Then you should check during the Moyed. Rashi explains that the moed means the actual time of beer, the actual sixth hour of the day, which is the last time when it's aser. Loy bodak b'seich ha-moed, yivdek l'achar ha-moed, and if not, if he didn't search at that point, if he didn't do bedikas chametz at that point, then he should do la'achar ha-moed anytime the rest of the day on Erev Pesach. But he should not, the implication in Rashi is that he should not do it during Pesach itself. Now Rashi is going l'shitase over here. He learned at the beginning of the Masechta that the reason for Bedikas Chametz is you're not over on Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. So once Pesach comes, it's too late. You're already over on Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Doing Bedikas Chametz is not going to help at that point. And Adraba, then you have the problem that you might end up eating the Chametz that you find. Therefore, better to not do it. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees and says, B'soich HaMoyed means the whole rest of the day Erev Pesach. And La'achar HaMoyed means... B'soich ha-moyed means any time from Chatzos on Erev Pesach until the end of Pesach is B'soich ha-moyed, and L'achar ha-moyed would mean after Pesach is over. Now, why are you checking after Pesach? At that point, you've already been over because it's chometz over all of Pesach. You still need to distinguish it from the chometz that you're going to buy after Pesach, which is going to be mutter, whereas this is going to be osur. So that, again, Tosfos is going l'shitasam that the whole reason for bedikas chametz is really only shema yechlanu. So it's not a matter of bal yiroh bal yimotzeh because you can at least you mevatel it and therefore on a deraisa level you're not over. So therefore, the only problem is that you might come to eat it. So therefore, you need to be checking even later. Yeah. Umashim Ashayer, continues the Mishnah, we learned this before, whatever you leave over of the chametz that you're going to eat the next morning, yanichenu b'tzina, you should put it in a hidden place, kadei shalo yehit tzarech b'dika achrav, so that you don't need to recheck the house. Because as we learned before, as long as, fine, if you didn't see a mouse come and take from it, then you don't have a problem. But if you actually see a mouse come and take from it, then we have all the various sfeikas that we had before about whether you might have, when you have to recheck the house or not. So therefore, avoid the whole thing by putting it b'tzina. So the Gemara starts off, my time did Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say, now on the face of it, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you need to check for chametz three different times, not just the night before Pesach, but also in the morning of the 14th, and also b'shas abir. So my time did Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that you need to do b'dikas chametz three times? So Rav Chista v'Rav Barav Huna d'Amitavayu k'neged sholosh hashbosis shabat Torah. It corresponds to three times in the Torah where it uses the word tashbisu. It's a lawyer, or not the word teshbisa, but where it talks about three places where it talks about in the Torah about not having chametz around. Lawyer roi l'cha chametz v'lo yiroi l'cha sa'ur is one. Shivas yom sa'ur lo yimotzi b'vateichem. And ach b'yemotion teshbisa sa'ur b'vateichem. So two loises says in one essay, so therefore altogether three times, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to do b'dikas chametz three times. Masiv Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef says, I have a contradiction to that. So you're telling me in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda means that you actually have to do Bedikas Chametz three times, but the Braise says, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Kol Shalai Bodek B'Shloisha Prokem Alolo Shuvayne Bodek, if you didn't do Bedikas Chametz any of these three times, then you don't have the opportunity to do the Bedikah anymore. You missed your opportunity. So obviously, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are not arguing how many times you need to do Bedikas Chametz. They're arguing about, is there a deadline beyond which you can't do Bedikas Chametz anymore? Rabbi Yehuda is saying yes, and the Chachamim are saying that you can continue doing it later on in the day, or even throughout all Pesach, or even after Pesach, according to Tosfos. And we're not going to assume that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing on two points, because the wording of the Mishnah doesn't really imply that. The wording of the Mishnah implies that they're only arguing on one point. So therefore, we have to say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you only do Bedikas Chametz one time, but he's saying that there's a deadline after the three times, and the Chachamim are saying they're not. Mazutra Masni Hochi. Mazutra learns the discussion as follows. Masiv Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Yosef said I have a contradiction on the Mishnah from the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Shalei Bodek Be'echad Mishloisha Prokem Alolo Shuveini Bodek. Rabbi Yehuda says if you didn't check one of these three times, then you can't do the Bedik anymore. Alma B'Shuveini Bodek U'Depligi. Again, the same thing. It means that they're arguing about whether you can do Bedik after any of these three times. No. You're right. Elo Rabbi Yehuda Nami Im Lei Bodek Kamer. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah means if you didn't search one of those times. So therefore, the machlokes is as follows. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say? So never mind the loyer roy lo yimotze and tashbisu. That's not why Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Because even he agrees you're only doing bedikas chametz one time. So you can't darshan it from these three psukim, right? So v'hocha b'hocha miftigi. Rather, the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim depends on the following point. Mar sava mikame isura ein boser isura loy. Rabbi Yehuda says, once it becomes osir, you should not be doing bedikas chametz anymore. Gzeira doma osir lamei chamine, because we make a gzeira, you might come to eat from it. Aye, that means you're going to be over on bayura bayimotze. Tough luck. You weren't bodik in time. Therefore, we want to be gozer because you might come to eat from it. Therefore, you can't do bedikas chametz anymore. But abonat savri loy gazrin, and the chum say you're not going to be gozer on that, and therefore he can check if need be later on in the day, or according to Rashi only until the end of Erev Pesach, and according to Tosfos even during Pesach or after it. And so if you find it later on Erev Pesach or during Chol HaMoed, or even after Pesach, then yeah, you have to destroy it, you have to burn it. If you find it on Yom Tov, as we learned the other day, then Koifal of Kli, you only overturn a Keli on it, which leads, by the way, some of the Mefarshim say, therefore, that when we say that you can check during Pesach, don't do it on Yom Tov itself. Because on Yom Tov itself, what are you already going to be able to accomplish? All you're going to be able to do is Koifal of Kli. Better to not search for it in the first place. Wait until Chol HaMoed, and then check, and then at least if you find any Chametz, then you can burn it on the spot. Okay, so we'll continue with that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about why Rabbi Yehuda is concerned over here that you might eat from the chametz when you're doing the bedikah, and why the chachamim are not concerned about that point. Shkayach.